The setting is a pristine prairie oasis, with birds and insects performing their daily concert. The Great Plains Nature Center is a protected piece of land tucked away in northeast Wichita. And nearby, you'll find a small municipal lake in Chisholm Park North.
I don't know if we're going to get to see any of the algae. It kind of depends on the way the wind is blowing and how much, what the concentration is.
Jessica Mount stands at the banks of the small lake, which features a nice view of Highway 96. She's a district fisheries biologist for the state of Kansas. Her job is to maintain fish populations in many Sedgwick, Harvey, and Marion County lakes, some of which currently contain cyanobacteria.
There actually is a warning for Chisholm North Park Lake right now, and there are signs posted at the entrance with that warning. Basically, we just ask people to use extra caution when they're fishing.
These signs are necessary because cyanobacteria, often called blue-green algae, is harmful. A toxin within the bacteria, called microcystin, can cause flu-like symptoms and even liver damage in humans and pets. As for fish, Jessica Mounts says it can eventually suffocate them.
The algae itself doesn't cause problems for fish until you have a really, really bad bloom, and that bloom starts to die. And as any organic compound decomposes in the water, that process uses oxygen. And because fish depend on the dissolved oxygen in the water to breathe, the fish don't have enough oxygen and they start to die.
None of the lakes Mounts looks after have gotten to that point, but a fish kill near Great Bend earlier this month wiped out the entire fish population. When this happens, the lake will eventually regenerate itself. The algae bloom will clear away and oxygen levels will return to normal. She says that can take 24 hours or it could take weeks.
We would try to restock the lake, but we'd also look at solutions for reducing the amount of nutrient going into the lake, which is the ultimate cause of excessive algae blooms, is things like that are in your fertilizer, nitrogen, but especially phosphorus.
Blue-green algae relies on photosynthesis. It gets its energy from the sun. Mounts says clear summer days and calm waters can create algal blooms, but foreign chemicals are what makes them a common problem. This idea is shared by Kansas health officials. Tom Langer is Director of Environmental Health for the Kansas Department of Health and Environment.
Every one of us as a human being lives in a watershed. We all contribute to this, whether we live in a city or we live on a farm or wherever. Our activities on the surface contribute to what goes into the water.
In 2010, KDHE formed a blue-green algae program after a number of people developed a rash, headaches, and fever from contaminated lakes. The organization now tests for cyanobacteria in lakes ranging from small fishing ponds to reservoirs like Marion and Milford Lake in north-central Kansas, both of which have had blue-green algae blooms this summer. Langer says every year is different.
In 2011, we had an unusual year where we had a lot of early spring rains. The reservoirs had to retain water because of flooding in the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. We saw algal blooms that just skyrocketed.
He adds that flooding brought fertilizer from crop fields back into lakes. After droughts in 2012 and 13, this year is the first they've been able to measure what a moderate spring and summer looks like. So far, harmful algal blooms are way down from 2011, but still high. The ugliest case is Veterans Memorial Lake, the one near Great Bend, where blue-green algae has killed every last fish.
Veterans Lake has been what we consider to be extremely chronic. That lake has not been off an advisory or a warning status for the entire time that we have had a program that's monitored the lake.
The problems of these algal blooms go further than a rash or fever. Dogs, as well as livestock, have died from ingesting toxins from blue-green algae. It can hurt tourism and local economies when advisories and warnings keep people from using lakes. And in really bad cases, like Toledo, Ohio, earlier this month, it can invade water supplies and cause a drinking water crisis. Langer says the answer is to limit the use of chemical fertilizers, especially when you live near bodies of water.
I might have a lawn, you know, and I fertilize that thing two or three times in the spring and again in the fall, and I'm putting all kinds of chemicals on there. And when it rains, my grass turns a beautiful shade of green, but a lot of that is just washing right out, and it's going downstream. And if I do that, and 1,000 of my neighbors are doing that in my community, what are we doing? We're contributing to these problems.
Once these algal blooms have started, there's not much wildlife agencies can do. They have to wait it out. That's why, according to Langer, prevention is the key.
The plan has to be local. It has to come from the locals. all we can do is message, and hopefully the message gets to the right people. You know, when you can't use a lake anymore, or it gets so bad that its utility is gone as far as a recreational outlet or an income driver for local economies, maybe at that point in time they'll say, hey, we've had enough of this.
In Ohio and Michigan, an estimated 400,000 people had to drink bottled water after blue-green algae invaded Lake Erie in early August. Health officials there also blame nutrients from fertilizers. According to KDHE, Kansas is at low risk of blue-green algae invading drinking supplies. For KMUW News, I'm Sean Sandifer.